Months away from the 2012 primary elections, there's a war of words heating up between political rivals, and some of them aren't even running for office. Well, she was an American girl, raised on the promises. All right, that's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, a hit song, American Girl. He's not bothered if his song is associated with a movie, say like Silence of the Lambs. Is bothered if it's associated with Michelle Bachmann and her presidential campaign. Tom Petty's lawyers sent her a cease and desist letter, asked her to stop using that song during her campaign appearances. And this is certainly not the first time this particular sort of battle has occurred. Lots of musicians have asked politicians not to use their songs. Here to joining us now is Khalifa Sané, musical critic for the New Yorker magazine. I mean, the classic one, Khalifa, of course, is Ronald Reagan and the Bruce Springsteen song that he used. And Bruce Springsteen asked him, even though at that time, this is before Springsteen became a real sort of political activist, he asked him not to use it.
Well, it's good to be here. I think in the case of Bruce Springsteen and Ronald Reagan, I believe that's something of an urban myth.
The Born in the USA?
Yeah. What I believe happened was that Reagan, at a campaign stop, this is during the 84 campaign, praised Bruce Springsteen. Mm. And I think people took that for him kind of – that the song was part of the reason he praised Springsteen. George Will had recently written a column praising Bruce Springsteen as well. But it, as far as I know, it wasn't actually use of the song. And so this was more of an exchange of opinions. Reagan said, I'm a Springsteen fan, and Springsteen later said, I'm not a Reagan fan.
Well, let's take a listen to the song that was at issue here. Play the beginning of the actual verse there just to show that that's not necessarily a great political campaign song anyway, Khalifa.
Well, Springsteen guy.
What would be a great political campaign song? I mean, I think pop songs, if they're doing their job right, usually mean various things at once, and they're usually in some sense unfinished, so anyone can kind of bring something to it. And in a sense, we all appropriate a pop song when we sing along with it in our car. So what politicians try to do to songs isn't so much different from what any fan would try to do to a song. And if you get deep into the weeds and really pick it apart, I'm sure you could find things in the lyrics that seem to contradict the politician.
But that would argue that perhaps the choice of a theme song isn't that big of a deal, where a lot of people have pointed to Ross Perot and his choice of Patsy Cline's Crazy, and that going up against Bill Clinton with Don't Stop from Fleetwood Mac. They're saying that actually made a big difference in terms of bringing young people into the campaign or turning them away from Perot.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly a politician can use a song as a kind of marketing or a way to show people they're hip. But I think there's a whole continuum. On one hand, if you have a musical act playing at a campaign rally, that's a pretty obvious endorsement of a politician by a musician. On the other hand, if you have a politician sharing the contents of his or her iPod, as politicians are usually asked to do, that's clear that that's not an endorsement. That's just them saying that they're a fan. But if you have something like a song being played in a campaign rally or being played in an online video, that's somewhere in between.
Khalifa Sané is a staff writer for the New Yorker magazine. I guess I wonder, since when do artists get the right to control their work? It's out there. Once it's out there, it's gone. They can't control it. It ends up in elevators.
Well, you know, that's a question that artists might answer one way, fans might answer a different way, and lawyers might answer a whole different way. I mean, obviously, insofar as the venue and perhaps the campaign have the right agreements with the right songwriting companies, they can play whatever music they want. And I think I'm not sure we want to live in a world where someone at an anti-war rally or an anti-abortion rally is forbidden from playing certain songs because the artists don't want them to.
It's a whole different ball of wax, though, as soon as a politician puts it into a TV commercial. Here's the first case in point. Here's Jackson Browne. That was used by John McCain during one of his campaign ads. And I want to play for you one more piece of music that was pretty much the exact same situation. This is the Talking Heads. All right, that was used by Charlie Crist, now the governor of New Jersey, during his failed run for U.S. Senate in 2010. So in both of these cases, they were used in a TV ad.
And although another candidate,
right.
Not as a brand for themselves.
Right. And in both cases, they sued saying you don't have the right to use this in a television ad, and they were settled out of court. It never made it to court. So in this particular case, they do have a right, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and the Crist case, which is, Florida,
Florida, excuse me, I said New Jersey. Yeah.
He was, this is different because we're not actually talking about TV ads necessarily. Often we're talking about online ads. Someone puts something together on YouTube and sends out a link on YouTube. And as a fan or as anyone who uses YouTube, you've got to think, oh, you can be sued for making a YouTube video and sending out a link. I mean, this whole question of what an ad is, what a TV ad is an interesting question. And especially if we were talking about an ad that was just put together by a supporter and thrown onto YouTube, it's an interesting question. Could they then be sued for using that music?
You know, so far the people we've talked about have all been Republicans, and there's a reason for that. I mean, we do have one example of a Democrat who was asked not to use a particular song. This was something that Barack Obama wanted to use during his campaign in 2008. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. That is, Sam and Dave asked them the Barack Obama campaign not to use that song. Though that appears to be nonpartisan. They also asked Bob Dole not to use Soul Man during his campaign.
Right, and that might partly been an issue of they feel they. It's always this issue of endorsement and this issue of sometimes people don't want listeners to think they've made an endorsement when they haven't. And that's why sometimes commercial use is better or easier for musicians, because if everyone knows that whatever car company paid you money for this song, they understand that it's not really a personal endorsement. So sometimes it's actually easier to give permission, even aside from the money issue, when you are getting
but
paid.
But we should know this is voluntary. I mean, Obama could have done whatever he wanted, right?
Yeah,
it was just a sort of they resolved it. Amicably.
Yeah, and certainly in the 2000 campaign when Governor George Bush was using I Won't Back Down, another Tom Petty song, and Petty's people asked him to stop playing it, the campaign agreed, ironically, back down. But they also said, wait a second, just because we play a song at a campaign rally, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily people take that as an endorsement of the politician.
I wonder if Ted Nugent would keep Dennis Kucinich from using any of his music.
I think he probably would have. You know, and I mentioned that most of the people who are asked not to use songs are Republicans. I should give you the statistics here. The fact of the matter is that the Center for Responsive Politics says 82% of contributions from the music industry go to Democratic candidates. The music industry is weighed heavily toward
sure.
Democrats, which is why this comes up more for Republicans than for Democrats.
Sure, and they tend to get a little uptight when conservative or Republican politicians are using their song. I just hope they can also feel some pride in the fact that they're able to make songs that appeal to so many people and appeal across the spectrum. Part of what we love about pop music is that it kind of lets us experience someone else's world for a minute
totally.
And connects us to listeners who are different from ourselves who also love this song. And that's part of what makes it pop. That's the popular in pop. So I hope that in between sending out cease and desist letters, Tom Petty is at least taking some pride from this.
That's Khalifa Sane, a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine, talking about songs that politicians have been asked not to use. And if you have a comment on a song that you think a politician should use, give us a candidate. Tell us what you think their theme song should be. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Amen to that. Right. Cease and desist the cease and desist. I say we'll have some music on our minds tomorrow, too. We're going to restart our music series, Relax, Remixing the Summer. Give us a song that you hum in the heat.